This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to, or welcome to an episode of the 99 Names of Allah. I'm your host, Bilal Khan, and I'm here with Ammar.
Ash-Shukri. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Ammar Shukur.
Ammar Shukri. How are you doing, Bilal?
I am doing wonderful now that we've had lunch and some food in our stomach.
Alhamdulillah.
And when I look at that camera, the light that's above it seems like a big ball.
Nice.
But then when I look at the light, I get blinded.
Excellent.
How about you?
Perfect. I mean, I look at the light at them, so I'm okay.
I'm like that kid who's like, don't look at the light. I'm like, Right. Wait, huh? Why not?
You were probably staring at the sun a lot as a kid.
I've always wanted to stare at the sun during a solar eclipse, but they didn't let me go outside.
SubhanAllah. So let's get into the names.
Yes. What are we doing?
So today we're going to do a combination of names that all carry some shared meanings. And the first is Ar-Raqib.
Okay.
Ar-Raqib. The second one is Ash-Shaheed.
Okay.
And the third is Al-Muhaymin.
Al-Muhaymin. So, what are these?
So, the shared meanings is the notion of being watched over.
Watched over, okay.
Watched over. So, Al-Raqib.
So, why, now when we're looking at a shaheed,
mm-hmm.
when somebody is shaheed,
yeah.
they say that he's a martyr.
Yes.
Okay. But here you're saying he's someone who is watched over.
Because
watched...
it comes from shahid.
Okay.
Shahada.
Shahada.
Which means to testify, to bear witness to.
Okay.
And so this person is bearing witness
okay.
to the truth.
So the term martyr is not appropriate?
No, it's appropriate because it's a martyr. That's what it is.
Okay.
But the martyr, what is that martyr doing? That martyr is bearing witness to the truth at the highest level.
Okay. He's bearing witness to the... Okay, they're bearing witness to the truth with their life.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Makes sense. Okay.
So Al-Raqib is...
So would all of the if this was a Venn diagram and all of these circles, would they fit perfectly within the same circle?
I don't know what that means. What do you mean they would all fit perfectly?
So with a Venn diagram, you basically have let's say each name and parts
Venn
of it
diagram would have parts of it that are shared.
Right. So in
and
this
so
case
they would all have the shared notion of watching over.
Okay. Got it. But what are the differences then?
That's what we're going to talk about. So okay. Al-Raqib. Firstly, Al-Raqib, so spelling it out, it's Ra, Qaf, Ya, Ba, Raqib. In English, if you're going to spell it out, just look at the title of this video, R-A-Q-E-E-B or Q-I-B. Al-Raqib is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where do we find it being a name of Allah? We find it in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 117, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes Isa alayhi salam. Where Allah has a conversation with Isa that's actually going to take place on the Day of Judgment.
Okay.
But Allah says, when Allah said, O Isa, did you tell the people to take you and your mother as gods besides Allah?
Do people take Mary as God?
Yeah, the mother of God. She's divine. She's definitely worshipped.
Oh, wow. I never even looked at it like that.
Yeah, so... the idea here is, did you because ilah?
Where is this conversation taking place?
Surah Al-Ma'idah.
Okay.
On the Day of Judgment.
Okay.
And so it's verse 116, 117. And so the idea here is ilah, by the way.
Yeah.
Ilah is anything that's worshipped.
Okay.
Anything that's worshipped is an ilah.
Okay.
And so
Pharaoh
is an ilah. Even okay. Ali ibn Abi Talib is an ilah. Oh. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an ilah. Isa is an ilah.
Okay.
Because if people worship them, what does worship mean? It means diverting the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that individual.
Okay.
Then that person is an ilah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to Isa, did you tell the people to take me and my mother as your mother as ilahs other than Allah? And then Isa alayhi salam will say, no, subhanak, it's not proper for me to say.
Yeah.
It would not have been appropriate for me to say what I didn't have the right to. If I had said it, you would have known it. You know what is in myself, and I do not know what is in yourself. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. You are the knower of the unseen. And then he says, I did not tell them except what you told me to tell them, which is to worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. And I was a witness over them as long as I was amongst them.
Okay.
So when you caused me to die, you became الرَّقِيبُ عَلَيْهِمْ. You became الرَّقِيبُ.
When you caused me to die?
Yeah, فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي.
Okay.
Tawaffaytani wafa. Wafa means death.
Okay.
The question then becomes, the discussion is, what type of death did Isa experience?
Mm.
Did he experience death?
A physical death?
Or did he, just basically a complete death?
Yeah.
Or is this a metaphor or for sleep or some sort of...
ascension?
Yeah, some sort of presence, right? I mean, he definitely was ascended.
Yeah.
But did he die or not? That's okay. The question.
But here, Isa is, and I'm saying that he died.
فَلَمَّ تَوَفَّيْتَنِي. Yeah.
Okay.
When you caused me to die, you became الرقيب عليهم.
Okay.
You became الرقيب. So we have an alif lam, الرقيب. Okay. So it's the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sure.
You became الرقيب عليهم. So what does الرقيب mean? الرقيب is the one who watches over and looks after. مراقبة. مراقبة is
steward.
Okay.
Is that what would that be inappropriate?
So explain to me steward.
Let's just say that there's a governor or a king of a land.
Yeah.
And he needs to go and meet another ruler.
Mm-hmm.
But someone else is going to be watching over that kingdom.
Okay.
For him while he's gone.
Yeah.
That person is not the king. They're simply taking care of it for the king.
Okay.
Right.
But Allah is the king.
Okay. But
so he's the king who watches over.
Okay.
And that goes back to what we were talking about when we were talking about the differences between Allah's kingship and everyone else's kingship.
Right.
Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kingship is a kingship that does not allow for any ignorance or any, you know, lack of information or knowledge or anything like that.
Okay.
And so he is al-Malik and he is al-Raqib. So I like that you brought up the stewards, because this is traditionally in humanity, this is a different role.
Yeah.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king and al-Raqib.
He's the king and steward.
He's the king and the one who knows everything.
Mm.
And in fact, Isa alayhi salam says, I was a witness over them while I was alive.
Yeah.
But when I died, you were basically the only witness.
Okay.
You were the only witness. And so, muraqaba is basically preservation and stewardship. You're right. It is hirasa, that you watch over something.
Yeah.
That you're always watching over.
You protect it.
Yes.
Preserve it.
Yes.
You're responsible for it.
Yes,
it's like what Alfred is to Bruce Wayne,
looking after.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is concept of muraqaba. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-raqib. He's the one who watches over everything. And so when you believe that Allah is al-raqib,
okay,
and you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the witness over everything, because the continuation of the verse where Isa alayhi salam, he says, وَكُنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا مَا دُمْتَ فِيهِمْ فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي كُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَنْتَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. He says, I was a witness over them as long as I was alive, as long as I was amongst them. But once you caused me to pass away, you are a raqib over them, and you are over all things a witness. And so you see the
what is the word that he uses, a witness?
Shaheed.
Oh, so he also calls them a shaheed.
Yeah.
Okay.
You are a shaheed. And so a shaheed is the one who witnesses over. And so the Prophet Isa alayhi salam is, you know, you see these two concepts coming into play.
Yeah.
Raqib and Shaheed. And so Ar-Raqib is, you know, some of the manifestations of both of these names is to really appreciate the fruits, is to recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you all the time. And it's not just, you know, it's not just the person who, for example, is at work.
Okay.
And when it's time to pray, they pray. And then when it's, they get a customer, they lie to their customer and they steal. And then the time for Asr comes and they pray. And then the next customer comes and they lie and they steal. Mm. That's not muraqaba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if a person
Fulfilling their duty and responsibility.
They're not fulfilling the name of that.
Okay.
Because if you knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly, just like He sees you in your prayer, He sees you in your transactions.
Right.
These names, Ar-Raqib, Al-Shaheed, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Sami, Al-Basir, all of these should create in a person an awareness of Allah.
Okay.
That there's nothing, there's nowhere, there's no action that I can do that is so small or insignificant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to be aware of it, or that He's not going to hold me accountable for it. And I become someone who's present of the presence of Allah. That I am aware of the presence of Allah.
Okay.
And so that's a raqib. As for a shaheed, it's pretty much the similar concept, which is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence over you. As for al-muhaymin, al-muhaymin has a slightly different connotation. And the connotation of al-muhaymin is not just the one who looks over you, but also the one who is the judge over you.
So he watches over you, but he's watching with the keen eye of justice.
No, meaning in the sense that al-muhaymin is the one who is an authority.
Okay.
And so, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he calls the Qur'an مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمُهَيْمِنًا عَلَيْهِ.
Okay.
He says the Qur'an is مُصَدِّق. It is giving...
So al-muhaymin would overlap with al-malik.
Al-malik?
Yeah.
Or al-malik?
Al-malik.
Okay, how so?
Because al-malik has to do with authority, right?
Let me just explain the how the Qur'an is a muhaymin. So the Qur'an, Allah describes the Qur'an, he says مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. It is a testifying to the truthfulness of the books that came before. Okay?
Okay.
And it is a muhaymin over it. It is a judge over it. What that means is that the Qur'an, as the final revelation, it bears witness to the truth that exists in the previous revelation.
Okay.
But the final judge over those previous books is the Qur'an.
Okay.
And so the Qur'an is a muhaymin over it.
And the judge is that now it is obsolete.
No, the judge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically judging, or the Qur'an judges, in three ways. If it is something that is in the previous book that the Qur'an affirms, then we affirm it. And if it's something that is uncategorically rejected by the Qur'an, then we reject it.
Okay.
And if it's something that the Qur'an stays silent about, then we stay silent about it.
One thought that always came to mind is when we talk about something that it is rejected and the Qur'an rejects it. Now, part of the rejection could be because of the alteration that might have been done to it.
Yes.
Right? Could it also be that it might have been law back then, but now it is abrogated and that is why we reject it?
But then we wouldn't reject it.
We would affirm that it was law then. But
yeah, like the prostration of Yusuf's family to him.
Okay.
So this was a type of prostration that was completely permissible.
Okay.
It was the sajda of respect.
Okay.
They had two sajdas. They had the sajda of ibadah and the prostration of respect.
Okay.
And so the prostration of respect existed up until the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not in their culture, but in the Christian. And so when Mu'adh ibn Jabal went to Asham, he came back. And he saw what they were doing to their priests. And so he came back and he prostrated in front of Rasulullah.
Okay.
The Prophet said to Mu'adh, what are you doing? And he said, I saw that they prostrate to their priests and I thought that you were more worthy of that. So the Prophet forbade him from doing that. And we, as our ummah, we are forbidden from doing that. But that, so practices that might have, because the norm is that the shara of those before us continues on.
Yeah.
The laws are as long as nothing changes.
Okay.
And so if it does change,
the
Quran and the Sunnah are what take precedence.
Okay. Makes sense.
Alcohol might have been permissible for those before.
Okay.
Not permissible for us now. The way that we fasted and the way that they fasted was different.
Okay.
They used to, if they fell asleep, they would have to, during iftar time, they would have to immediately continue fasting from whenever they woke up. So, for example, you break your fast at Maghrib time.
Yeah.
You take a quick nap. You fall asleep. For them, if you fell asleep, you'd have to continue fasting. Your fast starts from wherever you wake up. For us, we fast...
From sunrise to sunset. Exactly. For them, their fasting starts when you wake up.
Exactly.
So if you made iftar, ate too much, knocked out, that's it. That's your last meal.
That's your last meal.
Okay.
Okay. And so... the Quran is a muhaymin, as the Quran is an authority over that which came before. And so the idea here of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being a muhaymin, Allah is the one who looks over. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the authority over all of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the raqib. He's the one who watches us and watches over us. And so there's two aspects here. One is Allah watching you, and that should create in you some sort of, you know, vigilance and cautiousness and all of that, but also watching over you, and that should create in you some sort of comfort and trust.
What's the, okay, we talk about vigilance versus deliberateness. Is there a difference?
Yeah. Number one, with deliberateness, that you think about the reason why you do things.
Okay.
And that's why you'll find many of the salaf, you'll find amazing statements from them about not doing acts of goodness just because they couldn't figure out their intention for it.
Oh.
they'll be like, I'm not just going to do anything for no reason.
Okay.
And so they would think about their intentions just like we think about our actions.
Yeah. They were deliberate about their
actions. Absolutely.
Okay.
Because they realized that, I mean, Allah is going to know my intention. I might as well know my intention. Right.
Okay.
I need to figure that out.
Okay.
So that's deliberateness. And then you have vigilance. Vigilance is you being cautious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, avoiding sins, avoiding falling into that which will put you in a position of punishment.
Okay. So vigilance has to do with protecting oneself.
So from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Whereas deliberateness has to do with the proactive action as to why you're doing it.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay. So what's our takeaway in regards to...
The takeaway is to be cautious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
To trust Allah, to recognize that He sees you all the time.
Okay.
And so the takeaways are, I think, twofold. Number one is to be cautious of Him, that He sees you doing that which He doesn't command you to do, or He has prohibited you from doing, rather.
Be vigilant.
And that's vigilance. Yeah. And number two is trust and comfort. No matter how forgotten you seem to be, no matter if you're in the belly of a whale, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still shaheed over you. Allah still sees you. Allah still is watching over you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring you out of the belly of any whale, just like He brought Yunus alayhi salam from the three darknesses, the darkness of the night and the darkness of the ocean and the darkness of the whale.
Got it.
Okay.
Cool, guys. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.